Please remain standing, if you can, for the scripture reading of our sermon this morning. Today, we continue to read the first book of Samuel, the struggle between David and Saul. And this reading today is about how David spares Saul's life in chapter 24, verses 1 through 22, on page 246 on your pew Bibles, or on pages 9 and 10 on your worship guide. Let us read how David shows respect for Saul as the Lord's anointed and believes that Saul should be punished for his wrongdoings as king of Israel, but is willing to let the Lord judge him in God's own timing. When Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, "Behold, David is in the wilderness, in Engedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goats' rocks. And he came to the sheepfold by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost part of the cave, and the men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall be good to you.'" Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe, and afterward David's heart struck him, because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. Afterward, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, "My lord, the king." And then when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth, prostrated, and paid homage. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Behold, David seeks your harm'? Behold, these days your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in a cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancients says, 'Out of the wicked comes wickedness,' but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it, and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand." As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. And you have declared this day how you have dealt well with me, and that you did not kill me when the Lord put me in your hands. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day? And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be the king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hands. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore this to Saul. Then Saul went home. But David and his men, they went out to the stronghold. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this word you've given us today, and we ask that you would use it in our hearts. Oh God, we know you have given this word by your Spirit, so we ask now that by your Spirit you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts and that you would shed light on this text and give us eyes to see and ears to hear what we need to hear today. Almighty God, we are completely dependent on you. We know your word is living and active. We ask especially today that you would destroy the devil's work, who would snatch this seed of your word out of hearts and minds today, immediately after we hear this word, or ways that it may be choked out or wither. Oh, Father, please, by your mercy, plant this seed deep in us and germinate it so that it would produce a crop of 30, 60, or 100-fold. We pray, please give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you know the story of the Count of Monte Cristo. It's really a story of revenge, isn't it? At the age of 19, Edmond Dantès had everything going for him. He was a young man that was going to be captain of the ship one day, most likely, and Mercedes as his fiancée that he was going to marry. Everything was going perfectly, but his perfect life stirred up jealousy among some other men. And in their hatred, these enemies falsely accused Dantès for treason and had him arrested and thrown into a prison, into a dungeon, without a trial, and he suffered terribly there. And while he was in that dungeon, sent there by these jealous men, he made plans to take revenge on those who had done this evil to him. They did evil to him, and he would return that evil upon them. And that's not a strange feeling, is it? You all know that as well as I do. We get those feelings in us many times that we want to return evil with evil on those who've done evil to us. It's a response that we all feel in our hearts. We know it. And it's exactly what makes these actions of David here seem so amazing, isn't it? It's an amazing response that David has to Saul, who's doing evil to David completely. As you know, that Saul has been rejected as king, and David is going to be the new king, but he's not king yet. But God has chosen David to be the king one day, and David, as we've said in the last several weeks, is a type or a shadow of Christ, the great king. So there's a greater David who's to come, and David, this king, is this lesser David who's giving us a glimpse of the greater David to come. And he clearly gives us a glimpse here by showing us the character of that greater king who's to come. The greater king is going to look like David here in many ways, we see, and we saw it in our text today from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us about Jesus these things. For what credit is it if when you sin you're beaten for it and you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it and endure, that's a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Your master committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly, we're told. That's the greater David. And we see that pictured in this way with David in our text today. David sees his enemy doing evil to him, and rather than returning evil with evil, David returns evil with good. We see that in his text today in chapter 24, and we're going to see it again next week in chapter 25 with Nabal. David also, at that point, almost takes vengeance into his own hands, but he's stopped by Abigail, and he thanks her profusely for it, as we'll see next week. But he's showing the character of God's king, who's good to his enemies, even when they do evil to him. And we see that in what he did to Saul in the cave here that we just heard in verses 1 to 7, right? In verses 1 and 2, we read that Saul is back on the rampage against David after going to the Philistines. Remember, we saw at the end of chapter 23 that messengers came and told Saul that the Philistines are attacking, so Saul goes after the Philistines. And then immediately after he takes care of the Philistines, he's back on the rage against David. We're told Saul returned from following the Philistines in verse 1. And behold, David was in the wilderness of Engedi by that time. And then Saul took 3,000 men, chosen men for an army, and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goat's rocks. So Saul's jealous hatred of David is continuing. He's not relenting. Remember, it said every day this is what's on his to-do list. Kill David. And yet David genuinely does good towards Saul. And we read it in verse 3. Notice, Saul came to the sheepfolds by the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the cave in the innermost parts. Now notice what happens here. It's drama starting, isn't it? Saul just happens to stop in his cave to relieve himself. To relieve himself could mean go to the bathroom, or it could mean go to sleep, covering his feet. Could work either way, but either way we know he goes in there to somehow rest for a moment. And it just happens the cave that he chooses to go into is a cave where David's men are hiding out. I mean, it's a drama of a movie script. You couldn't write it any better than this, could you? David's men are hiding in the back of the cave. Suddenly the drama builds. Saul has no idea that David and his men are in there. And what will David do? That's the question. We read that David's men knew exactly what he should do. And they tell him in verse 4. The men of David said to him, "Ah, here's the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I've given your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as shall seems good to you.'" Notice their words sound so spiritual, don't they? They know the providence of God. They believe the providence of God. They believe that this is a clear sign that God's given him into your hand right now. Just kill him. He's given him right here. He's laid him out on a platter for you. Return evil for evil. Surely Saul deserves this, David. Surely Saul's forfeited every right for good that you could give to him. That's what you do in situations like that, right? If someone harms you, you harm them back. That's what my mother told me when I was a boy. I remember there's some boys picking on me in the neighborhood. My mom said, "You know what? If he picks on you again, you have my permission to clean his clock." That's what you do, right? Somebody's picking on you. You know what? Slug him. David's men tell him to do this. Return evil for evil. He deserves it. But notice what David said to these men at the end of verse 4 and into verse 7. David said, or he rose first, end of verse 4. He arose stealthily and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And then afterward, David's heart struck him. He felt guilty about cutting off a corner of the robe. And then notice in verse 6, he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went his way. Notice what David says to his men. I know he's done evil to me, and I know he's done wrong to me, but I'm here to do good to him. He's the Lord's anointed. So even though Saul does evil to David, David's intent is to do good towards Saul. And we read that's precisely how David explained his actions towards Saul in verses 11 and 12. Notice he tells why he tells Saul himself why he didn't kill him. See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand? By the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and didn't kill you, you may know and see that there's no wrong or treason on my hands. I've not sinned against you, though you hunt for my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you, and may the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you. You hunt for my life, but I'm not going to hunt for your life. I'll not hunt for you or be against you. Notice Saul does evil to David, but David returns good to Saul. And we see that Saul himself even saw this in verse 17, didn't he? He recognized it. Look at verse 17. Saul said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you've repaid me good, whereas I've repaid you evil." I know you're more righteous than I am. Saul knew it. Saul saw it. Everybody saw it. Saul did evil and David did good. And this is the way that David was a type of the greater David who was to come, Jesus. Jesus Christ's enemies did evil toward him, but he did good towards them. And that's not usually our inclination, is it? So most often we want to get revenge rather than respond with goodness and kindness. We don't want to return evil with good, but we often want to return evil with evil. And we live in a place and a time when we're taught that as well, right? We're not obligated to do good to people who do evil against us. There are many people who say that in our world. It's true in our relationships, in our marriages, our workplaces, our schools, or even on the road, as Graham used an example earlier, right? Someone cuts you off and is driving in a terrible way, or someone, you're in a lane and you know it's going to merge, and people zip by you, and then they get up there and they want you to let them in. Is your first response to, "Oh, sure, go ahead"? No. First response like, "No, I'm not letting you in. You're being a jerk." It's the way we respond, right? It's the knee-jerk reaction, the response we have in the heart is the very thing of returning evil for evil. No, I'm not going to let you do that. You know that that's how we respond. I'm not obligated to show you kindness because look at what you did to me. I don't owe you anything. That's the way the world thinks. We see here that's not the way God thinks. God tells us it's not his way. He's showing us his way in David's actions, and he tells us his ways more clearly in other places in the scriptures, right? In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said this, "But I tell you, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Father." You're the Most High, and because he is kind to the ungrateful and evil. So you're going to look like your father in this way. If you want to look like your dad, then don't return evil with evil, return evil with good, and you'll look like your father. That's the way that we're to live as God's people in God's kingdom, as David's showing us here, because this is God's way. We heard it in Romans chapter 12. "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary," God tells us, "if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. If my enemy wants to merge, let him merge." Notice God's command is to do good even to those who do evil to us. So we see here David's not taking vengeance into his own hands. Saul did evil to David, but David's doing good to Saul. And that's true of God's king, so it also should be true of us as God's people. So that's really the point today in the whole text. Since God repays evil with good, so his people should repay evil with good. But it's one thing to know that we should, and it's another thing to know how, right? Yeah, I know a lot of things I should do. How is that possible? Well, actually, we find out here in this text, we see how David did good to Saul when Saul did evil to him. The same question we have, how can I do this? Well, we see it in the way that David did it. He walked with eyes of faith. David was looking at things differently than the world did and differently than his sinful heart inclined him to, with eyes of faith. He believed some things about God that were true and what God said were true. And there are three ways that David looked with eyes of faith that I would contend that he saw things differently, and it caused him to respond with good rather than evil. And they're very instructive for us as believers, as God's people. So three things to notice in the way David's response and how he was able to look with eyes of faith in this situation. He looked with eyes of faith, and so David saw his enemy differently. He saw his present situation differently, and he saw himself differently. So David looked at Saul with eyes of faith in the whole situation, and it caused him to see his enemy differently, his present situation differently, and himself differently. Notice, it caused David to see his enemy differently, to look with eyes of faith. And we see that in verses 6 and verse 10. Notice David's response in verse 6 when David's men want him to kill Saul. Notice again, he said to them, "The Lord forbid that I should do this. Do this very thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he's the Lord's anointed." Notice twice he's saying, "This is the Lord's anointed. Do you realize who this is, you guys?" And in verse 10, similar thing. "Behold, this day your eyes have seen," when he's talking to Saul, "how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave, and so told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put out my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Notice David's looking at Saul differently than his men were. David was looking at Saul through eyes of faith. He believed what God said about Saul. He still was the anointed in office as king in Israel. Until that was totally taken away and Saul was removed, David was not in a position to take it himself. And so with eyes of faith, he looked on Saul and think about, I can imagine how David's mind must have gone. He was an Israelite. He knew how this worked. He knew God's command to his people. God commanded his people to anoint the priests and the kings. They'd rub oil on their heads and it marked them off for this special office that they had in his church. They had a function there and a calling directly from God to do this work specifically for God. They were set apart for God. They belonged to God in a special office. So to touch and attack and defile an anointed was really an attack on God himself. David knew that, and he believed it. He was obviously convinced that this is not a small thing, that he's God's anointed. It was clear David deeply believed this, and it affected how he looked at Saul. He knew that God's mark was on Saul. Think about that. He knew this was God's king, and to sin and kill God's king, even though he was doing evil to him, would be evil. So David was looking at Saul through eyes of faith, seeing this mark upon him. And you know, think about that for a minute. Something very helpful for us to consider as believers in this world when we look at other people and think about revenge. Do you realize every person that you see, every person, every human being that you come into contact with has a mark of God on them because they're created in the image of God? We know that with eyes of faith because God tells us that, right? Every human being is created in the image of God and has God's mark upon them as his own creatures in his image, They're His image bearers in the world. We believe what God tells us about human beings, not what people around us or the culture tells us about human beings. We believe what God tells us, and God tells us this being has the mark, my image upon this person. So for that reason alone, they're worthy of your doing good to them, for loving them. Even if they're your enemies, they have this mark upon them. Truly believing that about other people really does and should affect the way that we return their evil and return it for good rather than returning evil for evil. We don't look at their evil intent. We look instead at the image of God in them. And I've been helped by that greatly with John Calvin. In Calvin's Institutes in Book 3, he talks about this very thing, is what's owed to every other human being in love, loving your neighbor. And this is what we owe to every human being, no matter what they do to us, because of the image of God. If they don't deserve it, maybe you think God surely does, and His image is upon them. So for nothing else than that, we are not to return evil with evil, but return evil with good. And so we see first here that David returned good, evil with good, because he was looking with eyes of faith to see his enemy differently. This was the Lord's anointed. Cast Saul in a whole new light for David. How could I do such a thing? You guys want me to kill him? You're not looking at things rightly. And it was a teachable moment for his men. David was a true leader that way, right? He was teaching his men, how do you look at Saul? No, no, no. You're not going to kill him. I'm not going to kill him. He's got the mark of God on him. He's God's anointed. We don't do that. So how is David able to return good for evil? Well, one way is that he sees his enemy differently with eyes of faith. But secondly, we see that with eyes of faith, David also saw his present situation differently. How was he able to return evil with good? Because he saw his situation, his present situation, in the proper context with eyes of faith. And we see that in verse 12. Notice what David says again to Saul. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you. My hand shall not be against you. Notice, may the Lord avenge me against you, but I'm not going to do it. David saw things in his situation, present situation, differently than many people around him saw it. Many people, especially the men that were with him in the cave, thought, now is the time for justice. Justice comes now. And you do it, David. Bring justice. How did David see things? No, 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 no. That's not my job. I'm not in that office yet. I'm not called to that office. David, the individual man, does not take personal vengeance. I don't have an office and a calling to do that. But there's one who judges justly and will ultimately bring judgment, and that's God Himself. So David was looking at it that way. May God bring vengeance, but I'm not going to take that on myself to bring it. It's not my job. It's above my pay grade. God will bring the justice. God will bring judgment on those who have wronged me. God knows. And we saw it abundantly in Psalm 37 this morning, didn't we? That's what David continued to look at with eyes of faith. There's a judgment day coming. Don't worry about, don't get all fret and worried about those who look like they're taking advantage of injustice to you now and look like they're nothing's happening. They're getting away with it. Don't worry about it. Their day's coming. God's the one who will bring justice. As Martin Luther King Jr. said in his famous speech, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. I love that line because it's a great image for me for some reason, that arc of the universe and the moral universe is long, because sometimes an injustice done here doesn't get paid until way over here. That arc of the universe and final justice is long, and it seems long coming. But it bends towards justice, and it will come that day. And that's exactly how David's seeing it here. He's saying, may the Lord avenge me against you. I don't have to take it in my own hand. You may do evil to me, but God's going to take care of it, and I trust him to take care of it. Notice that's eyes of faith. David's saying, I believe what God tells me, and what God tells me is there is a day of reckoning coming. So anyone who does evil is going to be reckoned with by God. And so his present situation changed that he didn't have to have justice now. He didn't have to retaliate. He didn't have to be stressed. But he can trust himself to the Lord. That's something very important for us to remember as God's people, right? It's a great help for us to know that God will bring vengeance and justice. It allows you to endure injustice and not have to take care of it right now. It allows you to have some loose ends in this world of injustice. Not that you're happy about them, but as Christians, we can, as God's people, we can deal with those loose ends because we know they'll be tied up one day. It'll all come to a conclusion. And we don't have to be stressed about it because I believe what God says about a final judgment. And think about it. If your hope is injustice now, it's going to be very hard not to retaliate or seek to get the justice now. Or it's going to be very difficult for you not to become angry or cynical. We become angry because we believe that that person's just getting away with it. That's not right. Have you ever had that stir up in you? Like, it's just like they're just getting away with it. Nothing's happening to them. Why is this happening? It gets you agitated or cynical because you see so many injustices. After a while, you say, justice. What is justice? It's never going to happen. It's ridiculous. Courts don't bring justice. Look at that. Look at what just happened to you. Have you ever had that cynicism? I know I felt it, surely. I feel like, no justice. What's the solution to that? To believe what God says? Say, no, there is justice. I believe God, and so I live in this world with eyes of faith, knowing that there will be a day of reckoning. That's what David says again and again in Psalm 37. It's where he finds his rest, his hope, his rest for his soul. That's where he can find, at the end of the day, rest when he has all these loose ends of injustices happening. And it's the same thing with us as God's people. The only way to deal with those loose ends of injustice now is to believe God and say, no, there will be a day of reckoning and justice will come. So how is David able to respond to evil with good? Well, second way is that he was able to do it with eyes of faith because he saw his present situation in light of reality of the end judgment, a longer time frame. But thirdly, notice David's able to do good to Saul's evil because he looked with eyes of faith and saw himself differently. I was struck by that in verses 12 and 13. Notice how David saw himself. It's interesting, he uses a proverb here. Not one of the proverbs in the Bible, but an ancient proverb. May the Lord judge between me and you, Saul. And may the Lord avenge me against you. But my hand shall not be against you. As a proverb of the ancients says, out of the wicked comes wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. Notice David refers to this ancient proverb, out of the wicked comes wickedness. What did he mean by quoting that proverb? What was he intending to say? Well, think about it. David was saying that this is the way the world works, but it's not the way I'm going to work. Notice he's a realist. David is a realist. May the Lord avenge me, but my hand's not going to take vengeance against you. As the proverb says, out of wicked people comes wickedness, but my hand's not going to do it. Wicked people do wicked things, and they will always do it, and it's always going to happen in this world. They'll have hatred and revenge, but my hand's not going to join in it. David, notice David's saying this because of what he knew about himself and believed about himself as a child of God. David knew he was a child of God. He looked forward to a Messiah to come, just as we look back to the Messiah who came. And he knew that through this Messiah, through this Lamb of God, he was a child of God. And so he knew that this is who I am now. I'm not going to join in it. The wicked are always going to do their wicked things. But I don't have to join in it. As one of God's children, I follow him. I belong to him, and I want to do his will. I don't want to be part of it. And that's what we're supposed to do as God's people today, right? God's people who belong to God's kingdom are to look and act like our Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, remember he said, listen to what he said, and then why we're supposed to do this. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, or love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Notice, your Father is benevolent and kind, even to the evil people. So if you want to look like your Father, who has loved you and whom you love, then do this. And that's what David's saying here. That's the way my Father is. The wicked are going to do their wicked thing, but I'm different. I'm a child of the living God, and I'm going to do what my Father does. I want to reflect his character and his nature in this world. I don't want to look like the world. I want to look like my Father and do good to those who even do evil to me. That was surely the mindset of David and how he thought of himself with eyes of faith. He was loved, forgiven, rescued by God, bought at a price. God was his Father. God was his good shepherd who loved him as his sheep. And I have to believe that David saw that God had treated him in this very same way. God had returned good to David when David had given evil to God. David knew it. Look at how many of his psalms. He confesses his transgressions. And in Psalm 51, later in life with Bathsheba, he's going to confess these words. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, blot out my transgressions. Wash me. Against you, you only have I sinned. I've done evil against you, God. And what did God return to David? Good. Took away his sins, washed him clean. And David knew it. God had returned good for David's evil. David had been cleansed, and that's exactly what God had done for him. And that's exactly what God does for us in the gospel, right? The good news of the gospel is God returns our evil with good. We don't deserve to be his children anymore. We forfeited every right and kicked and spit against him by sin, done evil against him. And he does good to us by sending a Savior, rescuing us, bringing us back into his family. He repays our evil with good by sending his own Son who took our punishment for us on the cross. God cleanses us from our sins, does good to us when we've done evil. It's a beauty of the gospel and this God that we serve. Do you realize God really loves you? Really returns good on you. He has and he will, because he's a good God. He's not like us, thankfully, in our sin. He will bring justice one day, but he brought our justice at the cross. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we could be set free and loved and accepted and cleansed from our sins and begin to love our enemies and those who are evil to us just as God loved us. And that's really what compels us as God's people, isn't it? What's going to be the driving force for us to love someone who's an enemy? It's not going to be anything else but the power of God through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It's God's love for us in Jesus Christ that gives new life to our souls to begin to look like our Father by His power. And that's what grace does. You can begin. Actually, this can happen to you. You can look differently in your workplace and your family and your town and every sphere of influence you have. You can look different than the world. You know the world on the internet and social media. Return evil for evil. You look different. You look like your Father, and people will notice. And how does that happen? Because He loved you and returned your evil with good. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You for Your grace to us in Jesus, Your Son. Father, we thank You for returning our evil with good and being kind to us and merciful. Oh, Lord God, we ask by Your power and Your grace at work in our lives this week, give us all that's needed to return evil with good. For all those that we encounter, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.